Welcome to Terrible People Doing Terrible Things. I'm Laura, a true crime and horror fan who loves talking about terrible stuff.
And I'm Amanda, and I'm a licensed psychologist who enjoys studying the worst of humanity. And everyone, please welcome to the new format we're trying, a new format we're trying. And we are calling these unsatisfactories because it's not quite as bad as terrible.
Yeah, we're going to do little snippets in between our episodes about truly horrifying and terrible, terrible people. We're going to throw in some, you know, mildly unsatisfactories.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let us know if you like it.
Yeah, let us know what you think. It'll give hopefully a little bit of a palate cleanser between our heavier hitting,
our depressing stories,
research stories. Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. But let's see. I'm going to start out a little light. So this is kind of getting back into that vein of the animals are assholes segments we did for a little while.
Yeah.
And I found this image on Reddit, but it also just exists in the interwebs somewhere as well. So this guy has been posting these, what looks like kind of lost dog or lost cat signs around his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's a little different, so I'm going to read it. So this guy's posted this, and he's got an image of the cat at the bottom. And here's how it reads. So the headline is, "Do you own a stocky gray cat with a blue tag and a shit attitude?" The next heading, "Please consider keeping your monster inside. Your cat has attacked my cat at least a dozen times on my property. It has stalked her in my backyard, attacked her on both porches, and last summer chased her inside my house, where it was insanely difficult to get out because of how aggressive it is. In the last 2 weeks, it has attacked her 3 times and tried to attack me twice, literally lunging at my face when I was trying to separate it from my cat. It is irresponsible for you to be letting your cat outside when it is this predatory and violent. Maybe your cat was born an asshole, or maybe it's a side effect of a medical condition. Aggression in cats can be a sign of conditions like toxoplasmosis, hyperthyroidism, epilepsy, abscesses, arthritis, dental disease, rabies, trauma, sensory decline, or cognitive dysfunction. So please take your animal to the vet and keep it inside. I live at blank if you want to talk about it." And then at the bottom, next to the picture of the cat, the shit cat they posted, says, "An unwelcome and unfortunate sighting of the Catus Eratus Satanus." I know the Latin for Satan, I'm pretty sure, but
I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
Yeah,
that's so hilarious. It sounded like a fucking like a commercial for a pill. Your cat could be experiencing
the following conditions:
arthritis, liver damage, like. And it's funny because like cats are assholes in general. I have two cats, like they're dicks, but like my cats are sweet. But there are some cats who are like, you know, like just Jason's cat Kayla, who's just
Kayla,
a fucking demon for no reason. She's just always been that way from kitten on.
This could be a post about Kayla. Maybe we should let Jason know.
Yeah, she's not stocky and gray though. Yeah. So
well, and she doesn't get out and just peruse.
Thank God. Thank God. Because like when I lived with Jason and that cat would trap me in the bathroom, like legitimately, I would go into my bathroom, my separate bathroom, close the door, open the door, sprawled out across the door. And like, I'm like, "Move, please."
And I'm like, she hisses.
Mm-hmm.
They always like to hide in the darkest places in the home too.
She would hide behind boxes and jump out.
Yeah. My sister's cat hated me. Didn't attack any other fucking person. And this was after she had moved out and was married. And I'd come to visit and she had this black cat named Smokey. Smokey is the mascot for the UT Vols. It's a dog.
Oh.
Smokey's the name of the mascot for the UT Vols. So that's where that comes from. But Smokey would hide, and he was black, all black cat. He'd hide like in their little hallway closet that didn't have a door, but just was shelving for like towels and shit.
Yeah.
And I'd walk past and I wouldn't be looking, and I'd just hear this kind of as I'm walking past.
It's terrifying. Because you don't know where they are. You don't know where they're coming from. They could be above you. Like, cats are demonic. There's a reason why Egyptians worship them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Make your enemies your gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of how the Egyptians rolled. So, I don't know. That cat didn't like me.
Yeah.
It was weird. My dad could pick it up, cuddle it. I would look at it and it would hiss. Like, I proved this to people.
It knows.
I don't know if it knows, though.
You're afraid.
But I want to cuddle it. I just want to cuddle. I like cats.
I know. You're allergic, though.
Well, I know. I am. I am pretty damn allergic.
Pretty allergic. But my cat tries to kill you when you come over here.
I know. It's so fluffy and soft. It's not fair.
I know. They know when you can't pet them.
I'm like, not that it's exactly relatable, but I'm like, is this how a diabetic feels when they see a cake?
I just want it.
It looks so soft and fluffy.
That's like
delicious.
Jason's cat Kayla, beautiful cat, very soft.
Gorgeous. She knows she's pretty.
Can't get her. Can't pet her.
No.
Like, anytime you go anywhere near her, she'll turn around and just claw the shit out of you. It's like, fine. They'll be fluffy over there, I guess.
Yeah. You go be fluffy and beautiful and exotic looking over there, and I just won't touch you.
While you hiss at me from across the room.
Yeah. While you threaten my life.
Well, I don't blame this guy for putting up signage, because his poor cat is getting the shit beat out of it.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like he's finding the humor in it to some extent.
To a point. Yeah.
To a point. Like, he's.
But he's like, hey, your cat's a fucking menace.
Cat's a problem. And I'm worried about its health, to be completely honest with you. So that's kind of a little lighthearted, hearkening back to the animals being assholes situation. But there was another report I ran across that I think it popped up on Reddit too. I was on Reddit a lot this week. And there's been some new information released in terms of the psychological profiles of mass shooters. And this was released February 18th, 2021 by Columbia University Irving Medical Center. So a very reputable.
Wow. And recent.
Yeah, very recent, very reputable medical center and university.
Okay.
And a research team at the Center of Prevention and Evaluation at Columbia University and New York State Psych Hospital, they found that, contrary to popular belief, serious mental illness was present in only 11% of all mass murderers and only 8% of mass shooters.
Interesting.
And that's almost verbatim from their little initial paragraph. I don't want to take credit for
that. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Because,
yeah.
So it's easy to explain away murders and violent crimes and stuff like that by just simply saying, oh, well, the person is mentally ill. But it's not always the case. You know what I mean? And it's surprising to me to find out that mass shooters, on average, don't have any mental illnesses.
Yeah, like the vast majority, 92%, I guess, of mass shooters were not found to have serious mental illness. And then that would be 89% of mass murderers as well didn't have that.
So just because they're not mentally ill doesn't mean that they weren't experiencing some type of trauma or something to cause that. Because I know a lot of times it's like either like anger or bullying or hate groups. And things like
that. Yeah, the communities they're in, the people they're around.
Right. But that's interesting.
They created this whole database, and it included like almost 15,000 murders, a review of almost 15,000 different murders that had occurred between 1900 and 2019. And let's see, they analyzed like several different types of mass murder from all over the world. And they put mass shooters into their own category out of these mass murders. And then everyone else was lumped into mass murder. And this included like whether they used fire, explosives, poison, stabbing, bludgeoning, driving into people.
So like any kind of like murder incident that was more than like, I think it has to be more than like three or something.
Yes.
No, that's serial killers. Something like that.
Three, two. It goes back and forth whether it's just two or three. I think depending on what you read and
Okay.
What you listen to. But
interesting.
So yeah, they took mass shooters and they distinguished that group.
And you said only 11% of mass shooters or 11% of the mass murderers and
8% of mass shooters, so even smaller. 11% of all the other group together.
That's interesting. Because it's like,
yeah.
There has to be motivation for doing it, right? Like
there is. Yeah. And they
there always is.
So what they ended up finding was that the US-based mass shooters were more mm-hmm. likely to have some history in the legal system, use drugs or alcohol, misuse mm-hmm. drugs or alcohol. That's a key term there. And then have histories of non-psychotic psychiatric symptoms. So again, it's not that they don't have mental illness necessarily, but it's not serious mental illness. Like we
serial.
It's not schizophrenia. It's not psychosis.
It's not the heavy hitters. Like,
yeah, it's not something we can just easily use to explain away what they did.
Like they could have depression or...
Yes.
Right. Things like that. But it's not like, oh, they were, you know, schizophrenic and hallucinating.
No.
It's not like... It was just
they
like...
They were in their right minds when they
they're
did
just,
this.
They're a regular person with regular issues who escalated... outside of the regular means of handling those issues.
Yep. So, and they also kind of talk about how they believe a lot of these people outside of just substance abuse, legal problems, have difficulty coping with life events. So lack of coping mechanisms, which makes sense to me. If you can't cope, it's going to build up. You're going to lash out.
Well, there was that guy that, I forget what his name was. I think it was in California where he filmed a video of himself before the mass shooting, I think, where he was like talking about like women turning him down.
And he was the incel.
You know what I'm talking about?
One of the incel people.
He might have been.
Did he have like a little manifesto too?
Yes, he did. And a lot of it was like about how other people like treated him.
I remember, was his name Eric or something?
I'm not sure.
Elliot Roger. Yeah. You know, it was an E. I was closer than I thought I was going to be.
So he like...
Yeah, Elliot Roger.
Yeah. So he like filmed that whole thing about how like, oh, women don't like me and, you know, whatever. I don't know. Mass shootings and stuff are interesting to me because there is no like victimology.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess there can be if it's like someone goes and shoots up the workplace or something. But like...
Well, schools. Yeah. But like in public open shootings.
Yes.
You're just getting as many people as you could get.
And people hitting people with their fucking cars all the time now.
Like in Paris, is that where that happened?
Well, there was a plane. Was there a train bombing in Paris too? There was a lot that happened in Paris.
No. I'm talking about the guy who drove through the crowd of people in like a van and just hit like a ton of people who were protesting or gathering, whatever they were doing.
Well, and then the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yep, the Boston Mm-hmm. Bombings a lot. Just in Tennessee.
Yes, but the bombing of Second Avenue Broadway downtown Nashville. Yes.
That wasn't a mass murder because, you know, nobody was, I think only one person was killed. But like that could have been.
Yeah, people. Yeah. You know, oh, God.
They find out who did that?
Yes. They found out. They apprehended him. He was part, they believe his deal was that he was worried about what 5G was going to do. He was kind of a conspiracy believer and he believed 5G was somehow like going to be implanting chips. And so he wasn't trying to hurt people. And he actually, the RV that was set up that exploded had an announcement going saying, get out of the area.
And I get that. I get that. You still hurt people though.
Well, yeah, it's still not okay.
Like, you still hurt people. Pretty sure you killed somebody, too. You know what I mean? It's not okay.
No.
It's not an okay, like...
But I have more sympathy for him than the people that, like, fucking...
It sounds like he was, like, maybe, like, a tinfoil hat kind of, you know?
Yeah. And his intention was just to dismantle the system, not hurt people.
Yeah. Which is fair, I guess.
It's...
I mean, it's still a bad way to go about it.
Oh, yeah. It's misinformed. It's dangerous. It's not to me, he's someone that I would think would more likely have a serious mental illness. It's possible he doesn't. People can believe conspiracies and not be super mentally ill, but he, to me, would more likely.
And I mean, I get it. Like, technology is scary. Like, what we can do with technology is terrifying. But we're in the technological age. And I mean, that's it. This isn't going to go away anytime soon. Yeah,
barring some major catastrophic societal flare, dystopian shit. Yeah, or EMFs or whatever. Right. It's going to keep progressing. It's going to keep growing.
Right. And it is scary because, you know, one day we could get to the point where people could read, you know, thoughts or something if they had you hooked up to something, or, you know, we'll understand the human brain more.
Yeah.
But to go to such means to try and stop something, especially because you're like, okay, this guy thinks that 5G is going to, I don't know, implant microchips or whatever. Yeah,
whatever his.
You think taking out the 5G of one place, like, is going to do. Yeah. Like, I just don't think people think very far outside of their own situations.
Yeah, their own and circumstances. How things affect them. Yeah.
Because it's like, you want to dismantle 5G. Do you know actually what that would take?
Yeah.
And what a system global wide like attack that would have to be.
Yeah.
To be able to do something like that. So why
have to be a hacker?
Yeah. So why set off bombs? You know. But I guess desperate. You're not thinking people, rationally. So
you're not, and you're feeling desperate.
And that's what's terrifying to me about people. Is like no horror movies, nothing scares me as much as the propensity of people to like to kill,
commit and incite violence. Yeah.
And just like some of the things that we as humans do to other humans. I don't know of a single animal species, and there may be one out there, that tortures its own species.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, like otters and stuff like that, they do some pretty fucked up stuff.
Dolphins,
but not to their own.
Dolphins rape their own, right?
Do they? I thought they raped us and other animals.
They just rape? I thought they just raped. No,
I'm not sure.
I didn't know if it was. I don't know. Isn't all animal
stuff rape? I don't know that animals really consent. It
seems
to,
when
the animal kingdom, when they're made with like barbed dicks so that they can hold on like that.
Oh my God. Ducks or ducks corkscrew.
Ducks are the corkscrew. Cats have barbed penises. Yes. So they can hold on.
I don't understand Mother Nature sometimes.
So let's be honest here, like all animals, but like torturing is something that is like really, really specific to us.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah.
That's what fascinates me. And this is the whole reason I love talking about this kind of stuff.
Well, it is, but it's interesting because that also makes me think about cats playing with their kill.
Now, cats are one of the only animals that's like their pleasure center in their brain lights up, but they are considered like the psychos of the animal world. Yeah,
it's, you know, it's what interesting. I
mean? So like, but you know, and is that what happens? I'd love to know if like, what parts MRIs. Of people's brains are lighting up when they're doing these things.
Someone has to have done a study of like using an fMRI or MRI on killers and murderers, at least watching footage of those things.
Well, watching or recalling their memories and stuff.
Yeah, their memories.
But like,
their kills.
To actually be able to like monitor while it's happening, which I mean, you wouldn't, because then you'd be monitoring somebody killing somebody else. It's just, this is why it's so fascinating to me, because it's just, we don't know anything.
Yeah. No. Not in terms of the vast amount of knowledge and the answers we haven't uncovered yet.
And the variables. Like, everybody's brain is different.
Yeah, we're wired a little different.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Well, and as soon as something happens, things shift, you know, a little bit in terms of your internal beliefs, the mechanisms, the neurological wiring of the brain, you know, can be fundamentally changed if an event is traumatic enough or significant enough too. So it's like we start out pretty much the same fucking blank slate, but
like anything can happen.
Yeah, it gets very divergent over time as we experience different things in life.
Head injury, trauma, abuse, you know what I mean? It all shapes the brain.
Chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
access to food and water versus lack of access to food and water.
Mm-hmm. And the adaptability of people too. You have to think about like people who have been kidnapped and wound up being with their, you know, kidnappers for 9 years or something like that. The adaptability of the human brain to be able to like take that and be like, okay, this is our new reality. Yep. So we're just going to, we're going to change so that we can live through this.
Yeah. We're going to function in this environment somehow.
Fascinating.
Resilience.
Fascinating.
But yeah, I found that information. I thought it was interesting. I'm going to pick your brain a little bit.
That is interesting because you would just assume.
Well, it's what we hear.
Yeah. Oh, you must be psychotic. Crazy.
You know, it's what we hear. We hear that they've slipped through the cracks in the mental health system. So everyone starts pointing the fingers at us and saying that we're failing. And I'm like, it's not quite exactly what's going on.
No. The mental health professionals aren't failing. The system is failing.
Yeah, and society's failing.
We don't have it set up. Like, it's not like it's not cheap to go see a psychiatrist. It's not cheap to get medication to help you with, you know, mental illness and stuff like that.
And it's usually something that has to be initiated by the person.
Yes. And if you don't want
or
can't come out of your own reality enough to be able to accept help, then a lot of times, because nobody can get in there.
Yeah. Like you can make your kid come see me for counseling.
Doesn't mean he's going
to
get better.
And there's a lot I can try to do to connect with that child. But if they don't want it, they don't want it. And I'm not a wizard. I'm not a magician.
You're also not a mind reader.
Yeah. No.
So you also, your job depends on, because I know I lied to psychologists and psychiatrists left and right as a teenager.
Yeah.
All the time.
I think I downplayed certain things because I didn't want certain people to get in trouble.
I didn't want like people to get in trouble. I didn't want them to know that I was, you know, suicidal or that I had been thinking about, like, I didn't want to be put in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
I didn't want any of that. And a lot of times I didn't trust my medical professionals, especially one individual. So like I didn't trust them, and I wouldn't take my medications and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, your job is not easy. Your job, and it's not like just being like a surgeon or something where it's like, oh, I open it up, I take this out, I put this over here, I stitch it up, all better.
I can see what's wrong.
All better. You can't see what's wrong.
I have,
and you have
12
to rely.
Nurses assisting me in the surgery.
Yeah. You have to rely on your patient's information. Yeah. And every doctor in the world knows that patients lie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and not to say surgery is easy by any means. And I'm sure they deal with all kinds of unknowns and pressures.
No, of course not. Totally different.
But I'd say there's like more clear-cut information there sometimes.
It is. Because it's anatomy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every person looks like this. They're supposed to look like this.
They should not be bleeding profusely.
Right. But when somebody comes in and starts talking to you, you know, every person's personality is different. So it's up to you to have to identify and try to suss out, you know, what's normal for this specific person and what's not.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, a little bit of
so kudos to you, Amanda.
Puzzle. Thank you.
You're doing great.
Yeah, but so that's probably all we'll cover for today. We're going to try to keep these kind of short,
fun.
A little bit shorter than some of our longer episodes, but we will be back to bother you guys with another little unsatisfactory little tidbit.
Unsatisfactory.
A little less terrible. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.